You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Wicker. Alongside me, it's Joe Zamataro and Matt Gannon. Guys, welcome back to the show. We got another action-packed episode. It's been a boring week, if I say so myself. We haven't had Lightning hockey for a little bit. They're in the midst of their long break here, but nonetheless, should be a really fun episode. We appreciate everybody tuning in live. I think we're only live on YouTube right now because StreamYard is being a little bit difficult, and Eureka's not here to help me out push all the buttons, but more reason to ring that bell so you don't miss out on notifications when we do go live for sure here on YouTube. But first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
Doing pretty well. Weather's been holding up pretty nicely. It almost reminds me a little bit of summer because it's been warmer and we haven't had any hockey.
Wow, that's a sad way to put it. I like the warm weather, but I'm kind of over summer now. I'm hoping for some cooler weather, and I'm hoping for some hockey back sometime soon. This 6-day break feels like an eternity, you know, not the middle of the season, but, you know, pretty close to the middle of the season, getting there.
Just a couple of more days until Lightning hockey is back. We're going to get into the two games that we haven't recapped yet. We'll take a look at some other fun stuff too. The Lightning have announced their new Hall of Fame nominees. We're going to be talking about that and who our picks are that we think should go into the next Hall of Fame induction class. And then, of course, we're also going to be talking about an event that the Lightning hosted. It's Coop's Catch for Kids. I'm sure you heard it before. It's a fantastic event. I don't think it gets enough media coverage as it is, so we'll be talking about that as well. Don't forget, if you're with us live, feel free, drop a comment down below. We'll get it up on here, and we'd love to hear what you guys have to say so we can have you guys chime in and talk about that as well. Guys, I say let's just kind of rip the Band-Aid off, if you will, and let's talk about some of these games for the Lightning. As we know, we kind of talked about it on last week's episode, things were kind of taking, I don't want to say a turn for the worse, because it's still very early in the season. There's a lot of hockey left to be played, but things weren't going as well as they were early on the season for the Bolts. And unfortunately, that trend kind of continued for the next two games here for the Bolts. The first one being against the St. Louis Blues. Lightning going to St. Louis. St. Louis, not the best team in the NHL, not the worst team in the NHL. But the Lightning ended up losing this game by a final score of 3-2. The Lightning off to an early lead, 1-0, thanks to a goal from Nick Perbix. Yes, you heard that right. Nick Perbix with an unbelievable goal. But then the Blues kind of run away with it in the later half of this game, with them going up 3-1. Victor Hedman eventually does get one back, but the Lightning just cannot complete the comeback and drop yet another game to the St. Louis Blues.
Who wants to go? This game was a bummer. It wasn't doomed to fail from the start, but it's the back half of a long West Coast road trip or Western road trip. I get that the guys are tired, you know, again, coming off of a very long road trip, but you can't really use a tired excuse this early into the season, especially, you know, with a couple of short or long off seasons. They haven't gone deep in the playoffs the last 2 years. You can't use the tired excuse. I'm not sure what exactly it was, but it was unenthusiastic hockey is what I saw. You know, relinquishing another lead. It wasn't, you know, a big lead. It was a one-goal lead, but still an early lead that you just kind of lose in the second period, which seems to be the common denominator for a lot of these games, is just giving up in the second period and not having enough gas to make a comeback in the third period. Yeah, there was a Victor Hedman goal in the third period, but it didn't seem like a very competitive game. It just seemed like everybody wasn't really in this game. Their hearts weren't in it. I'm not sure what to attribute it to, but I'm just kind of leaning on, yeah, the end of a long Western road trip.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a contributing factor for sure. Another huge one is missing Braden Point. Something that we've kind of seen with this team, and I feel like it's something that we've seen for a little while now, is that it's not extremely deep. And this goes back from, you know, several years. If you're missing a key piece, they really, really struggle. And, you know, I think when everybody is healthy, this is a contender of a team. But when you don't have, you know, someone as important as Braden Point on it, things start to break down really, really quickly. If Kucherov were to get hurt, things would break down really, really quickly from forward standpoint. yeah, right.
Knock on wood, please. Knock on wood.
The other thing that we're seeing, too, is we're having a couple of defensemen that are struggling. And that being, you know, he got a goal, but Nick Perbix is struggling, and so is Lilleberg. And, you know, they're putting the two of them together. If we had, you know, if they were split, you know, you just hope that they could get their, you know, 10 minutes of ice time, you know, 15 minutes of ice time in without doing too much damage against the team. But we're not seeing that. They're not able to get off the ice before getting scored on. And it's starting to become a real issue. I mean, Lilleberg was a minus two. Perbix got his goal, but he was a minus two on the night. And it's really where you're seeing quite a few of the struggles. It's just like those depth positions. And it's, you know, things are kind of starting to fall into reality here with this team and where they're shaking out. This isn't a team that's going to win the conference. It's a team that will be fighting for a playoff spot as they look right now.
Well, and they could certainly turn things around because we saw at the beginning of the season, they looked fantastic. Power play was still an issue in this game. That really hasn't come much of a surprise. It's been an issue for the Lightning all season long. They are still just trying to find that right group of guys. Obviously, taking Stamkos out of that power play has done a number on it, and they're still trying to make that adjustment. I still believe that they can, but it's clearly going to take some time, maybe a little bit longer than we maybe would have hoped. Matt, you were mentioning the Lightning playing from behind. It felt like the Lightning were like physically playing from behind in this game, where the Blues were just in front of them all the time. They were always playing, trying to catch up, and it never really worked out for them. Unfortunate, but you looked at this game and said, hey, this was a tough game on the last game of a road trip. Hopefully they should be able to bounce back against the Philadelphia Flyers back at Amalie Arena with the home faithful once again behind them. And the Philadelphia Flyers at the time, I believe, were still the worst team in the NHL record-wise, or one of the worst teams. So this is a game on paper that you should no question win. I will say the Lightning tend to play some very, very weird games against the Philadelphia Flyers, off of them going 8-7, 8-6, 7-0. You just never know what you're going to get when the Lightning play the Flyers. This one was another surprising one, not by really much the score, but how the Lightning played. They lose to the Flyers 2-1 in the shootout in this game. So once again, going into extra time, continuing that trend of Lightning Flyers weird games. But it's a game where you had a goal by Nikita Kucherov in the first period, Lightning going up 1-0 on a nice wraparound attempt. And the Lightning held that 1-0 lead for basically the entirety of the game. It wasn't until late in the third period, Owen Tippett scored a game-tying goal on a backhanded shot that just kind of flipped over Vasilevskiy's shoulder and tying the game 1-1. Lightning can't score in overtime, and then the eventual shootout, which they lose. So disappointing. Just really, I don't mean disappointing is the right word. Guys, I don't know about you, but this felt like the worst loss out of all of them. Looking at this entire losing streak they're currently on, this was the toughest to swallow. This is a Flyers team that's not very good. The Lightning did not play a good game. They looked lackluster. They looked tired again, even though they're back home. Something just wasn't going right here for the Bolts at all in this game.
I'm gonna jump in because I didn't actually watch this game. I saw some of the highlights, and I was gonna watch it.
There were highlights.
Right, I was gonna watch it later, but I didn't. I will say that the goal on Vasi, what a freaking fluke look, you know, beautiful shot that was. But I mean, you guys tell me more about the pace of the game. We tend to play way down to bad teams instead of dominating them. And was that what ended up happening?
So, Jake, you said it might be the toughest loss, or, you know, the loss that hurt the most. But to me,
I think it's the worst loss.
It's the most inexcusable loss. Like, you're going up against Ivan Fedotov, however you say it, who is like one of the worst goalies in the league. Not only this year, but last year, his numbers were not good. He's got like a 5 goals against average, or close to it, or something like that. And you made him look like George Vezina out there. I think I might have used the word to describe the St. Louis game, but just unenthusiastic hockey is what I saw all game. The Nikita Kucherov goal that was a beautiful goal. And he did it all himself. You know, there were assists on the goal, but he did it all himself, essentially. Fedotov got caught swimming, and Nikita Kucherov made a great move to get around Rasmus Ristolainen, I think it was. But everything after that was just passionless, unenthusiastic, just sad, boring hockey, too. And I got to give it to Philadelphia. They played a good, you know, defensive shutdown game. And Vasilevskiy, he was actually really good. He was probably the best player on the ice throughout all of this, really, excluding the shootout. But, you know, the shootout's a different conversation as well. Just a sad game that you should not lose. Like, I guess I'm happy we walked away with a point, but you get the one goal in the first period, pretty early into the first period, and you just kind of lay an egg after that, a literal egg after that. The goal against Vasilevskiy, you said it best, Joe. You know, it was kind of a fluky goal, whatever, but it was also a wicked backhand shot from Owen Tippett. He's got a really good shot, backhand and forehand, so... It was good positioning by Vasilevskiy. You wish he would have had it, but the rest of the game that he did play, I've got, you know, no criticisms. I don't know what this game was, where to start, where to end with it, but just why? This is not a game you should lose. Your first game back at home, going into a long break, you know, go into this break on a high note, and there's nothing that you can really take away from this game positively other than your goalie played really good. That's really the only thing.
Matt, I'm right there with you. This was a bad game, and especially for a veteran group, you know, John Cooper and company, these are guys that have been around the block. This isn't their first year. I know that there's some different players on this team, but that's really no excuse to play this bad that they did. Again, they played from behind. They played tired. They mustered 23 shots on goal. Matt, you mentioned the young goaltender that the Flyers had in the net. You should be peppering shots on net when you got a goaltender like that in net, and just 23 shots on goal. By the way, they gave up 31 to the Flyers. Power play, again, atrocious. They were 0-2, barely had any chances whatsoever. And then I did want to bring up the shootout as well. I wish I was there. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not in Tampa right now, so I wasn't able to be in the press room for this game. But I wish I could have asked John Cooper what the thought process was. And I'm going to mispronounce his last name because I still haven't learned it. But Gage Konklavas, why is he out there as the first penalty shooter? This shocked me, and I get, you know, coaches try to pick the player that's having the best game, and I love to see the young guys out there. You got to give them a chance, but it baffled me. I didn't understand why he was out there for the first shot when you got guys like Nikita Kucherov out there, who is very well. Kucherov sometimes struggles when it comes to breakaways, but he's a great great shooter. He scored the only goal in this game for the Lightning. That confused me, and the shootout, you know, was nothing special at all. I mean, the Lightning players that did shoot just kind of shot right on net and couldn't get anything going. Very disappointing. Yes, they do get a point, but this is a game they should have won easily in regulation.
Yeah, this shootout I'm torn on because it's something Cooper is not a stranger to, you know, putting a rookie out there, you know, a very new player in the shootout. I remember a couple of years ago when Ross Colton first stepped on the scene, and Cooper – I can't remember where in the lineup he put him, but it was very early on in the game. It might have been his first game ever. I'm pretty sure he scored in that game as well. And Ross Colton, he's got a great shootout move, if you guys can all remember it. I can't even start how to describe it. But it's not out of Cooper's character to put a young guy, a rookie, you know, in your shootout lineup. And if it worked, John Cooper would be praised. He'd be a genius right now.
Yes.
But because it didn't work, it's like, what are you doing, man? And so I'm kind of torn because what are you doing, man? I get you don't have Braden Point, who is a dominator in the shootout. He's great in the shootout, but at least, like, give yourself a chance to breathe. And Victor Hedman as well, his shootout numbers are pretty good too. I don't have them in front of me, but I'd count on him scoring more often than not in the shootout. But when you're going up against a big goalie, and Ivan Fedotov, he's a big goalie. He's probably bigger than Vasilevskiy is. I think he's around the same size, and Victor Hedman, he's not going to deke this big goalie out. He's going to shoot it, and that's exactly what he did, right into the pads. So no critique against Victor Hedman or anything like that, but I would rather send somebody out that would try to at least get this big goalie who can't seem to stop anything other than when you play the Lightning, get him moving instead of just, you know, shooting on a huge, massive frame that probably will stop it. And that's what happened. So again, I'm kind of torn, you know, if these ideas did work, I'd be praising John Cooper. I'm like, man, what a good decision. But it didn't work, so here I am on the other side of the coin.
I mean, those are definitely fair criticisms. It sucks that the recap doesn't show every single shot that was taken, so I can't see what Goncalves did in his attempt. And Hedman's got, you know, one move. He's got a deceptive release that, like you said, he's if you're a smaller goaltender, you know, maybe you can find that angle, find that sweet spot. But on someone that's large, he really, really has to pick his corner and be accurate. And it's a lot harder than coming in with some speed and making him back up and make a save.
He shot low on the goalie, though, like right above the pad, below the trapper, I'm pretty sure. I can't find a replay of it, but I remember
The pad.
Yes, like he was down in the butterfly, glove was low, and he shot it like right.
That's a really, really, really hard place to make a save. Mm. It is. I mean, because like the way you go down, if it's just above the pad, you have to reach your arm out there, and also you don't want to get burned by somebody going high. It actually is a really tough spot to make a save. But you know, if it didn't work, it you look like a zero instead of a hero. You know, how many times you see guys go for a five-hole goal and it just looks like a simple push on net, and other times you're like, how the heck did that go in five-hole when it looks like it was going 2 miles an hour? It just, you know, depends if it goes in or not. One thing I do want to point out, though, is in these games, you know, at least the Lightning aren't really getting blown out. It's five losses in a row, but every single game, if it wasn't a loss by one goal, the extra goals were just padded because of empty net goals and an attempt to get back into the game. So the, you know, they're not complete blowouts. They are relatively close losses. The guys are in those games, and even in the Flyers game, you know, had the lead, you know, to start. I can pull up the, let's see, did they have the lead for the Blues as well? Yeah, Perbix's goal. So I mean, they you know, they're getting the lead. They're having trouble closing out games, which I think we talked about that last week. In fact, you know, closing out games has been a little bit of an issue.
Talked about it last year.
it's fair. Looking at the standings right now, I still kind of like the way that we're positioned, though. You know, it's I'll say it. You know, I'll say it every single year when everything starts sorting itself out. If you look at goal differential, that usually is the haves and have-nots when it comes to playoffs. If you have a positive goal differential, more often than not, you're going to be making the playoffs. If you're negative, almost never are you making it. Right now, Boston is ahead of us with points. They have 16 games played to our 14. They're a negative 12 goal differential, so they're in a really weird spot. But get this, they are battling back from games. They only have four regulation wins. All right, of their seven wins, they have four Boston regulation wins. Yeah, seven losses and two overtime losses. So they're getting some bonus points there. They're playing into OT quite a bit, and you know that's showing. That's something that if they can't close out games and stop giving up those extra points, it's going to end up biting them. But that's something that the Lightning aren't able to do, it seems, is take a game that's a one goal differential, push it into overtime, because that would be a pretty big difference right now in the standings. That'd make us, just in this last week alone, that put us back up to, you know, almost second.
And that, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up too, because in this Flyers game specifically, it seemed like they tried to park the bus in the second period. You can't do that. You're not going to rely on your one goal to win you this game, even with how good your goalie is playing. They're not good at closing out these games. They're not good at shutting it down. They need to, you know, take the offensive. We learned this last year. We learned this when Jeff Blashill got a job in Tampa, is they cannot close these games out. They have no idea how to, you know, put their foot down. So do the opposite. Keep the pressure up. We know that they can score goals. The power play might be a little bit of a different story, but 5-on-5, the goals are coming despite this only being a one-goal game for the Lightning. Keep the pressure on, you know, hit him with the dagger. You know how satisfying it is to hear Dave Mishkin say, "Dagger!" Like, just keep the pressure up. And, you know, who am I? I'm not a coach or anything, but we've seen time and time and time again that they cannot close these games out. And you're parking the bus way too early, trying to play this, you know, prevent defense, shut them down, don't let them get anything. And it worked kind of for the most part. It was a beautiful goal that went in against Vasilevsky, a really nice backhander that 99 times out of 100 gets saved. But you're still not playing the style of hockey that suits your players the best.
Quickly, especially on a team like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Quickly want to get to a comment here from Beverly too that she dropped. Just said Kiki has a wicked shot too. And he absolutely does. I don't know if he would have gotten a chance in this shootout. Well, he only had two shooters in that because Philly scored on both of their attempts. So it ended very quickly for the Lightning. And you know, also I'll say, listen, Matt, you kind of mentioned it, right? I'm not John Cooper. There's a reason I'm not behind the bench. And if there's any coach that you can trust, it's John Cooper. This guy knows what he's doing. He's the longest tenured head coach in the NHL right now. He's a multi Stanley Cup champion winner. There's a reason he's such a good head coach, and that we all love him.
Can I give you a different point of view on Cooper?
What's that?
Can I give you a different point of view on Cooper?
Please.
He's not an X's and O's guys either. He's not. He is a personality manager. He's really, really good at working his players, getting the best out of them, getting them motivated. But he's not necessarily the guy that's why, you know, you have, I just blanked on his name, the power play coach.
Why am I blanking on it?
Gotcha. Put you on Halpern, the spot. That's why you have Halpern running power play. It's why you have other coaches. Those are your X's and O's guys. So when it comes to strategic changes in game, you know, saying that Cooper's is the longest tenure head coach, so he's making good changes. I don't know. I don't know that I necessarily agree. We used to criticize him very heavily before he won cups that he didn't make any changes at all in the middle of a game.
Well, Cooper's also been known to change up the lines a lot when things kind of go awry. He does do that. Yes, I mean, you're right. You're listening. That's the reason you have a power play coach and a penalty kill coach and all these different coaches. But at the end of the day, my point was, the basis of it, John Cooper is a good coach. Whether he's doing X's or O's or doing motivational stuff, he's a very, very, very good coach. And there's a reason the Lightning have found success under him. And as you mentioned, Joe, you look at the Lightning spot, the goal differential, all that kind of fun stuff. There's no reason to be sounding alarm bells right now. It's disappointing. It's frustrating. And if this continues, then it becomes an issue. But if they can bounce back out of this break and come out strong, they can get right back into a good position like they were just a couple of weeks ago. So there's no reason to sound alarms yet.
You're absolutely right. You got two games in hand right now because of the break, essentially, from all the teams. If you win those two games, you're back up to 19 points, which puts you 1 point down on second place, which is the Maple Leafs. They're not in a horrible spot, and it's probably good to get these kinks worked out early with the team, but they're obviously being shown.
And the Maple Leafs aren't even playing pretty good hockey either. It seems like it's the Florida Panthers in the Atlantic and a bunch of guys, and we're part of that bunch of guys. So, we're not in a we're not in a bad situation right now. It's just been a bad 2 weeks or so for Lightning, for Tampa Bay sports, really. But it could be a much worse situation in the standings. You just got to hope, you know, nobody in the Metro, you know, maybe takes a wild card spot if that's where we end up or anything. And another thing, one thing I did just kind of think of on why we might be losing some of these games too is Lightning aren't good at achieving milestones. It seems like they really do kind of start to shrink in the moment. And
it all makes sense now,
doesn't it? You know, the Vasilevsky fastest goaltender to 300 wins is, what is that? Is his next win? Is that what it is?
He's at 299. Next win puts him at 300.
So, yeah, how long did it take Stamkos to hit 500 goals or 1,000 points? Like, the puck was on his stick.
I blame it all on Vinny LeCavier.
How's that?
The first time that he had his chance to get 50 goals, it took him like six games to get that 50th goal. And when he did it, it was a weird spinorama backhander, almost from the top of the circle, that, again, it went five hole, had no business going in, but it finally broke the dam and continued scoring the rest of that season. And, you know, maybe that's going to be the way that things work out here.
What was it like when Stamkos hit 60 goals? I remember he did it in the last game of the season. What was it, 2012? Against Winnipeg. Was he scoring a bunch up to that point?
Or that one I can't recall.
If I'm not mistaken, and don't quote me on this, I think he did hit a slump as well a little bit there. Not as much as some of these other guys, but he – that goal was 100% worth it to happen in Winnipeg. And the way that that moment was, one of the best Steven Stamkos moments there is, when he scored 60 goals and got that standing ovation in Winnipeg. That was a fun moment. Matt, thank you so much for reminding me of a fun time. Little tough patch that we're going through right now for the Lightning. I'll tell you one thing, though, that does always cheer me up no matter what's going on with the Lightning. It's heading over to shop.rblrsports.com and checking out the awesome team-inspired merch that we have over there for you guys. Lightning, Bucks, Rays, Rowdies, you name it. Again, it's shop.rblrsports.com. Links, as always, are in the description as well, and you can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order as well. Look at that, Matt. You got the $10 bill with the 10% off. Fantastic. I love it.
We don't have the graphics, so I got to put a 10 somewhere.
Unfortunately, I don't know where the button is for the graphic. Again, blame Eureka. He's not here right now, so I don't know where all the buttons are. Anyway, let's get to some more fun stuff and some really cool events that the Lightning have been putting on over this past week, and then we'll get into the game previews and then wrap up from there. But do quickly want to mention this event. You know, I don't think it gets nearly enough media coverage every time it happens. There's, if you go on like the Tampa Bay Times and one of the local news channels, they've got articles written on it, but even still, it just doesn't feel like it's enough media coverage. And that's Coop's Catch for Kids, which is an event he's been putting on. I believe this was the seventh year that he has done it. It's an event where Cooper and all the players and a couple other people as well. Gretzky was there last year. I believe he was here again this year as well. They go out with fishing with some of these kids, and they raise money for cancer research. It's an awesome event for a great cause, and I think Cooper does a fantastic job putting on this event. They had that once again this year, and just wanted to talk about it real quick. It's a great event. My dad actually got to go on one of the boats this year and fish with some of the guys, which was really, really cool. He told me a little bit about that, but it's just, you know, it's a great thing that Cooper does and really gets him involved in the community. Joe, you kind of mentioned how he's a great motivator. He's great in the community too, which you always love to see when a coach can get that involved with their community.
I love this event. I love it so much. I'm a big, you know, water sports, boating, fishing kind of guy, and I love John Cooper and the Lightning with every ounce of my body. This is, if I could partake in any Lightning event at all ever, it would be this event. And it's such a good cause, too, with such a good guy, getting all the Lightning players out there, too. One thing I do want to mention as well, it looks like Kucherov didn't show up in all black this year, so it seems like he's starting to you know,
I was going to mention him too. Like, how often do you actually see him smiling in event photos? And he looks like he's having a good old time in the picture that's on the homepage.
Must have landed his personal best snook. No, it's such a great event. I'm jealous. I'm glad your dad got to go, Jake. That's really cool. Tell him to put in a good word for me for next year. All right.
I'll see what I can do. He was on the Sorelli boat, by the way. It was him. There's a couple other people, him, Sorelli, and Gabby Shirley, who were all on that boat. And from what I've been told, they caught a couple of baby sharks, which was pretty interesting. I don't even know.
Damn it.
Wait, what?
Well, now it's going to be stuck in my head. Thanks.
Okay, anyway, we're going to keep moving on so Matt's ridiculous joke doesn't get stuck in anybody else's head. But yeah, they caught a couple of baby sharks, and then I didn't think they caught a ton of more fishes, but you know, it's an awesome event at the end of the day. And there is a charity thing that goes on a little bit before. Again, there's not a ton of media coverage on it, and which is unfortunate, but there's a charity event that goes on where they get a lot of donations, and that's how they raise a lot of the money too. So
it would be awesome if they could do like a small, you know, couple minute thing in like Recharge for the next episode or something like that. If they could cover it, you know, I know it's not, you know, mass media, you know, NHL covering it or anything, but you know, to show us more of it, at least, you know, us Florida sportsmen kind of guys. I just love it. I get a kick out of it so much.
Matt, I need to get to this comment that just popped up, and I'm going to put it up here right here. I cannot believe I'm reading this. Matt, you are a miracle worker. Comment here from Ethan. Matt converted me from an Avs fan to a Lightning fan. He converted me from the dark side.
Yes, Ethan, yes.
Love it. We're glad you're here as a Lightning fan now. It's a great place. Sorry that we're in a little bit of a rough patch right now that you had to witness that, but that's pretty funny.
Yeah, after the Flyers game, you know, it being such a tough loss, I was like, it's okay if you want to go back to the Avs, man. Like, after that.
Whoa. Hang on. Don't jump ship. Stick with us here. It's going to be a lot of fun throughout the entirety of the season for sure. Other thing that I do want to mention here for the Lightning and the big news that they put out is we're having our next Hall of Fame induction class that's going to be coming up, the class of 2025. The Lightning announced all of the nominees for this year. For the fans, if they want to go vote, you can do that on the Lightning app. It's right there on the homepage. You just click on it, takes you to a different spot, has all the nominees listed, what they've done, a little description about them, and then you can select two of those nominees. By the way, all the nominees are selected by the selection committee. There's 10 people. I reported a while back on who they were. I don't know if they changed recently, but it's a couple different people within the Lightning organization, some beat reporters and stuff like that. But they select who they're going to put on the nominees, and then the fans vote on the nominees. The top two will get inducted to the Hall of Fame next year. And currently it is Phil Esposito, Vincent LeCavalier, Marty St. Louis, Brad Richards, and Dave Andrechuk, who are currently in the Hall of Fame. In a moment, we're going to go through the nominees real quick. I'll list them off for you guys, and then we'll talk about some of our picks for who we think should be into the Hall of Fame class here in 2025. So let me run through these nominees real quick. There's 8 of them this year, which, if I'm not mistaken, the last 2 years before this, it was 12. So there's actually less nominees this year. There's a couple of people that have come back again. So here's what we got. We got Ryan Callahan as the first nominee, played part of 6 seasons with the Bolts, helped the Lightning to a 2015 Stanley Cup final appearance, and served as an alternate captain for Tampa Bay from 2014 to 2019. He's also done some big stuff in the community as well. Ben Bishop, who ranks 2nd in Lightning history for wins with 131. He represented Tampa Bay at the 2016 NHL All-Star Game and finished 2nd in Vezina voting in 2016. The one and only Bullen Wall, Nikolai Hobby Bullen, 2004 Stanley Cup champion, 2-time NHL All-Star with Tampa Bay, and 3rd in Lightning history for wins. Pavel Kubina, he was the 1996 7th round pick by the Lightning. That's a pretty darn good draft pick right there. 10th season with the Bolts, 2nd most games by a defenseman in Lightning history. Jay Feaster, the 2004 GM for the Lightning when they won the Stanley Cup. He was the GM from 2002 to 2008. You have Brian Bradley. He was the first NHL All-Star in Lightning history and led the Bolts to their first playoff appearance. Then Henry Paul, who is the first vice president and secretary for Tampa Bay. He partnered with Phil Esposito to help them first get into the scene when they came on as an expansion team. And then finally, Rick Peckham, the Lightning play-by-play announcer for over 24 years. And the Lightning renamed their press box to the Rick Peckham press box to honor him after he retired. So they are your nominees. My voice is tired, guys. Take it away.
So there's 2 choices, right?
Those are the 8 nominations, and fans can pick 2 of those 8 to vote on.
Okay. My bias is going to show here, but Rick Peckham, man, I mean, I don't know if it's his time. You know, I can definitely see him waiting a couple of years, but he's definitely got one of my votes. You know, you can't write the story of the Lightning without Rick Peckham's voice narrating it. He was the voice of the Lightning for, you know, over, what, 20 years or so? It's maybe a bit of a biased answer. There might be some more deserving people, you know, maybe some of the players, but I love Rick Peckham so much. You know, I'm still glad that he's, you know, involved and part of the community, you know, still pop out to some games from time to time. And again, just some of his calls. He's one of the best play-by-play broadcasters of all time. Does not get the recognition he deserves, but he's very much loved here in Tampa Bay. So he's got one of my votes, and the other one would be the Bullen Wall. You know, Ben Bishop is a good choice, but you got to put Hobby Bullen in before Ben Bishop. It only makes sense. You know, I can't go on about Hobby Bullen as much as I did about Rick Peckham there, but it only makes sense. And there is no right answer. All of these are great choices, but those are my 2 picks.
Yeah, I mean, I agree definitely with Rick Peckham. I mean, he's already in the NHL Hall of Fame for broadcasting. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to be guaranteed to be put in. And I mean, I also agree with going with more like institutional people. That's why, you know, I'm kind of torn between Henry Paul and Jay Feaster as my 2nd pick. I think I would go with Feaster because that's a little bit more relevant to me personally, just the timing of when I started watching and then building that first Stanley Cup team. And I mean, he was, he was a big part of the Lightning for a while there, you know, help transform that team, make sure that we had something entertaining to watch. And 2004 NHL Executive of the Year isn't too bad to put on your resume either. So that would be my two picks. In terms of players, I kind of like the idea of pushing them off till later because they're relatively younger compared to, you know, some of the guys that are, you know, I don't want to insult Rick Peckham by guessing his age, but he's getting up there in years. So, you know, let him have the accolades a little bit sooner and let some of these players wait a little bit. But I mean, all these people have played, you know, pretty strong roles, and you know, listing Kubina up there is a funny one, because I tend to forget how he played for 10 seasons with the Bolts, but it was in two different stints. So how long that period of time was. From 1997 he got 10 games in, then he played until the 05-06 year, so he won the Stanley Cup with them, went to the Leafs and Thrashers for a few years, then came back in 2010, played in 2010-2011 with them. So it that's a long time to have your number dedicated to for being a Bolt.
I'm right there with you guys on the clean sweep for Rick Peckham. You guys know Rick Peckham is one of my idols. I love Rick Peckham. He's a fantastic announcer. And I basically just repeat what Matt said. He was amazing. It's a no-brainer. Rick Peckham was actually on the nomination list last year, but did not get it. So I think he's a shoo-in this time around. And then for my second pick, you know, I kind of been bouncing back and forth. I believe when I voted, I did vote for Nikolai Hoppe-Bullin. I'm a little biased there. I was a big fan of Nikolai Hoppe-Bullin. He was my favorite goaltender watching the Lightning, and he was a big part of that Stanley Cup, obviously the first Stanley Cup. You know, it doesn't really happen without him. But Joe, I do think you make a good point. You know, when you look at a guy like Jay Feaster, who kind of shaped the Lightning in those years to help them bring that first cup, I think that's a great pick. And as you guys have both kind of mentioned, right, there's no bad picks here, really. Anybody that goes in, and keep in mind too, you know, like Rick Peckham, for example, he was a nomination last year, didn't get in. These guys are going to eventually get in, if not all of them. There'd be like one or two that maybe never get it. Like, you know, this is the third time I believe Henry Paul has been on the list. He was on the first one, the second one, and now this one. And I think it's tough for him because most people, when you ask them, do you know Henry Paul? They don't. He's not a big figurehead in the Lightning organization and is not that well known. So he's a tough one. I don't know when he may get a good chance to get in. He's definitely deserving. But man, my picks are Rick Peckham and Nikolai Hoppe-Bullin, but you could definitely go Jay Feaster as well. That's not a bad pick either.
Andre Waugh was snubbed.
Well, that would be my next question, Matt. Was there anybody that you thought was left off of the nominee list? Now they did kind of windle it down a little bit the last 2 years. I think 12, if I'm not mistaken. So, and again, you'll get more nominees as seasons go on and the Lightning, you know, get older as a franchise. But is there anybody that jumps to your mind for you guys that was left off? Joe has got
that. He's smirking. Go. Space
right now, so I can't wait for this.
Well, now that his career is essentially over, Steven Stamkos should be on the ballot. Ba-dum!
Dang!
All right, so we're just going to...
Oh, wait, no.
Well, I mean, you know, it's been interesting.
That was crazy.
Steven Stamkos' time will come for when he is officially done with his career.
Bogo.
The Predators. Oh, boy, man, that is... You think the Lightning have it rough right now? The Predators have it rough right now. The things are not going well over there in Nashville. But Matt, anybody that you think was left off the list, maybe?
Bogo.
Okay. You know, you both got it.
Kick me out.
Bogosian. I don't think he's one that would get on anytime soon.
He'll be in the real Hall of Fame. It's okay.
No, he's a Jake, great that player. Was, he's a that great player. Be... Bottom of the Hall of Fame. But there are your nominees. Don't forget to go out and vote. By the way, I did forget to mention that one fan who votes through the app, because they have you put your name and your email once you vote, they will win tickets to the nomination ceremony and the Hall of Fame game as well, lower level tickets. So go vote. Why not? You get to choose who can go to the Lightning Hall of Fame, and you can win some tickets for a game and for that ceremony, which is an awesome ceremony, by the way. You can buy tickets for that for general admission as well once that comes around. It's really cool, fun thing to do. So go out and go vote for a fun thing for Lightning fans. All right. Let's look at the road ahead here for the Lightning. I've mentioned still in that long break right now. The next game for the Lightning is going to be on Thursday, which will be at Amalie Arena against the Winnipeg Jets at 7 p.m. Eastern. This is a big game. The Jets still the best team in the NHL right now. They are cruising right along. It doesn't seem like anybody can stop them. The Lightning did play the Jets once this already this season. Tough loss to them, kind of got out of hand when it comes to empty net goals, but the Lightning did kind of play them close. And then you have the New Jersey Devils on Saturday, the 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern, again at Amalie Arena. And then we'll be back for the next show, and we'll look at the next week ahead. So two games coming up this week, guys, Winnipeg Jets and the New Jersey Devils.
Man, what a way to come out of a break. You know, we already know how well we, how terribly we play coming off of a long break, and the reward we get is the 14-1 Winnipeg Jets. What a life we live. That's great. And then New Jersey, all I can do is pray for another, you know, 8-5 game or something, you know, we can pull out of our hat like that. So no, I mean, this would be the best time to respond and show the league, show the division, you know, who Tampa Bay actually is. You know, this what was it, 5-game losing streak, you know, a lot of these were underperforming, fluky, whatever you want to call it. So what a way to, you know, come back out, show some effort, show some passion, was the word I was using earlier, to come out and beat a dominant white hot Jets team. That'd be a crazy way to, you know, bust your slump. And then, yeah, New Jersey, they're kind of all over the place right now. So I'm not sure what to expect with that game, because last week I said these are two games you should win. We lost them both. So I'm not going to do any of that here.
I think we might have lost Joe there.
Hopefully,
for a second.
Coop's been bag skating these guys for the past week. Build up there, and am I coming through?
Yeah, kind of.
You're there.
I'm there. Yeah, all right. I'd say hopefully Cooper's bag skating them for the past week, and they come in with some better skating, better legs, and have a Jets team that's a little bit tired. But I don't like the odds against that first one. The team never does well with a week off, and I'm usually not a pessimistic type of guy, but it's just, this feels like an uphill battle right now. It doesn't, they need to change something. Hopefully this week of rest will be the change, and we see it on Thursday.
I am an optimistic person, and the Lightning are going to go 2-0 out of the break. I've got a good feeling. We're going to come out strong, looking good. Well, I don't know, but Joe is right. The Lightning usually struggle with breaks. Hopefully they kind of fix some of those issues throughout the week of practice here, but we'll be here to recap it all for you guys. Don't forget to hit that like button. If you did enjoy this video, hit subscribe, ring the bell for notifications so you don't miss out on future episodes. If you're enjoying these, hit that share button. It really helps us out, and we really do appreciate it. But guys, that's going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll talk to you next time. Go Bulls!
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.